Bill Moseley.
Danielle Harris.
Dick Warlock.
George Romero.
Kane Hodder.
Robert England.
Ronnie Blakely.
CJ Graham.
And you're listening to
Demon Horror Texas.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
Oh, hey, you okay?
Blackest time.
What's in the fucking box?
Candy!
Stop the prime time, bitch!
What's this?
Oh, well, that's the number to the sorority house.
Fellatio?
Yeah, it's a new exchange, F.E.
A new exchange?
Yeah, fellatio. One of the girls was in this afternoon. She gave it to me.
She gave it to you?
Yeah.
Nash, I don't think you could pick your nose without written instructions.
It's something dirty, isn't it? Indeed it is. Welcome back to another episode of Deep in the Horror of Texas. I am Nathan.
And I'm Jeff.
And Ralph is no longer here.
Bon voyage, sir.
God damn guy.
He, you know, he docked recently.
Yeah, he docked indeed.
So this one's coming out of left field. We thought we'd...
Yeah, why not throw a fucking Christmas episode?
And I'm glad we did this.
Yeah, we're going to... rush and do our best of.
And what's just funny, we're texting each other, and I'm sitting at home watching the remake of Black Christmas late one night.
And I was watching the original.
And yeah, so we both looked at each other like, all right, let's flip this up.
And a Merry Christmas.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think? Age Before Beauty?
Yes, definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely. So the 1974 classic Canadian horror film, starring Margot Kidder, John Saxton, and a bunch of other fucking people. I don't know. Olivia Hussey and Keir Duella? I think that's how you say her name. But yeah. This was like... I've always heard of this movie. Like, throughout my childhood, everybody would, you know, all my horror friends would be like, oh, Black Christmas, Black... And I was just like, I have no interest in this. And I think that's mainly tainted because Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I didn't really care for that.
You didn't see this when at a young age then?
No, I just saw it. This is the first time.
Gotcha, man.
Yeah, and it was on Showtime, so I was like, fuck, you know, why not? And me and my wife have been talking for a while about watching it because it's been on there for like a month. Two nights ago, we started watching it, and then you called me. You're like, hey, I just watched the remake. I was like, fuck.
I'm in the 90s. He's over here. He's over here in the 70s. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it actually shocked me.
Because you remember the... We always talk about like the box art for Silent Night, Deadly Night, where it's like the...
Santa going down the chimney with an axe.
It's beautiful. It's awesome. Iconic. But this one always caught me when I was young because it was the old school like Creepshow like box art, you know?
Yeah.
It was a clamshell box art, and it just had that wreath going around the rocking chair with the girl with the plastic bag over her face.
Yep.
And the imagery always caught me, and it looked old. So I remember when I watched it, I was thinking of maybe like Halloween-esque kind of stuff, but it ended up being like almost a slow... thriller is the way I remember it. And as we get into it, it's because there's a real lack of violence in this film.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see too much.
Not really. I mean, it's pullaways mainly. I think they're very on point. Like Bob Clark's the director. I think he was very in touch with, I don't want to do recuts. I don't want an X rating. Let's just keep it. And from what I gather, this production ran smooth as clockwork.
Like, gotcha.
No problems whatsoever.
The chemistry between the girls is just
great.
Everything's great in this film. That's what I was really to take away, the dialogue, even the throwaway character of like the landlady, you know, the
she's got Miss like, Lauderville 1869.
God, she's the best.
She is awesome. She hides fucking bottles of whiskey all throughout the house.
B is for booze. It's like extra strength sherry or something.
Yeah, she's like the house mom.
Yeah,
but she's not the mother. Like, this is a sorority, so she's like
she looks after the girls, you know, like make sure they're not, you know.
I guess she's like alum from like 1940 or yeah. something. She's old, but.
Because they talk about that kind of like in Night of the Creeps, you know, like the lady had her own house in the back of the sorority that kind of like keeps an eye and ear out for the girls.
Yeah.
But this was fun. Yeah. A fun character. I mean, it was to kind of run in between when the father gets involved looking for his daughter, because that was kind of like the fun twist too.
Yeah, Margot Kidder was actually awesome in this movie.
Beautiful.
Yeah, fucking nuts.
Wearing that choker and just look at, she looked hot because she had like this little like black choker she was wearing.
Yeah.
She looked nice. Sorry.
I know her as a crazy person.
So. I know, but when she, in that film, she looked like a, man, if you ever wanted to date like a hot smoker. She was smoking hot.
I guess. There's a bunch of people in this movie. Like, I half was expecting Bob and Doug McKenzie to make an appearance, man. Like, all the Canadian actors are in this fucking movie.
Fucking Garfunkel threw me off at the beginning there. God, dude. You gotta wear your Santa costume. Fuck. No. Shit. I mean, yeah, they shied away from the violence, but the language in this film, I remember this being a big deal when I played it young in my house, because like the perversion level and the
phone calls,
the vulgarity, it's just you want to go into the whole fucking phone
scene? Rock it out.
All right, let's rock the phone scene.
Ring.
Right. Hello. Hey, quiet! It's him again! The Mona!
You're good.
Shh, shh. Hurry up. Quiet, quiet.
Sounds like Ralph at a buffet.
Glad to throw him off the cruise.
No more lobster for that guy. Cut him off.
Standard is act. Could that be one person? No, Claire, that's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir doing their annual obscene phone call.
Marin!
Listener, hearing discretion is advised. Sounds like me when I sleep.
Coke. That's all I can think of. Saves up for the rest of the party.
You got a water dripper.
Lick it. Let me lick your pretty pinky cunt.
Listener discretion is advised.
Pretty pink cunt.
Whoa.
Pretty pink cunt. I make your pretty pink cunt. I'm like a tuning fork, baby. Suck my juicy cock.
I'm at 325. We'll learn that.
And you can suck it.
Okay. Swipe.
Listen,
right.
You pervert. Why don't you go over to Lamb of Kai? They could use a little of this.
You big cunt. You want my fat cock too?
Oh, why don't you go find a wall socket and stick your tongue in it? That'll give you a charge.
I'll stick my tongue up your pretty pussy.
You fucking creep.
God.
I'm going to kill you.
Oh. You didn't really give him the right address, did you?
Hopefully not, you know?
God, yeah. I mean, that's in the first 5 minutes of this movie, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what am I watching?
It's unsettling. Just to hear it here on the podcast, I'm like, oh, God, we're going to get in trouble.
I love that they when you're watching the film, that the Christmas music going with it. It's just awesome. That this is, and it's got to be like the loudest fucking receiver in the world, because you have like a group of like 6 or 8 girls around you and they're hearing this shit and you're like, that's a creep. Like, you think about the old school when a stranger calls back.
All right, I only called once.
There's got to be more than one of them. And
it was fucking 10 years ago. Let it go.
It's the 3 guys from deep in our Texas.
Jeff's doing coke. I'm fucking doing the fapping sound. And Ralph's talking.
Let me see your pretty cunt.
Yeah, don't ever call us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just basically one regular night of Call of Duty for us.
Dude. Yeah, I mean, it gets you in the mood for this movie, because this movie, it moves along. I know you said you were having problems, you know, staying awake during it, but you also called me at 1:30 in the morning last night.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm fucking totally asleep. I go to bed at about 11. I get a fucking phone call, rouse me out of bed. I look, it's Jeff. I'm like, what the fuck?
Is somebody
answering? He's like, I can't watch this movie. Jeff, what's going on?
So I'm having trouble staying awake. I took a Tylenol PM and it's winning.
With a shot of fucking tequila behind it.
Damn it.
Getting right into it, you'll notice so many fucking familiar faces.
Oh, yeah.
Just in the sorority.
Because you mentioned the main chick. That turns
Margo?
The main one with the straight hair. That's the one that's dealing with the pregnancy.
That's fucking Olivia Hussey.
Yeah.
And she is from?
You remember her from Stephen King's It.
That's correct.
And that was fucking Bill's wife.
Bill.
I strike my fist against the post.
Good.
Timmy.
You shall not put the
But I remember seeing this chick in junior high when they made us watch that fucking old school Romeo and Juliet.
Yep.
And
that came before this, which is odd for a person that's done a lot of movies and then gets into this. But I guess it's like the Canadian stick together kind of thing.
Like Bob Clark was able to kind of usher a lot, like a great ensemble together.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking got
great reviews.
It's got Margot Kidder. It's got her. It's got fucking John Saxton. It's got, I don't know her name off the top of my head, but the main chick in Strange Brew.
Yeah.
You guys probably don't know what Strange Brew is, but Strange Brew is a beauty of a movie, eh? You
hold it? Oh, yeah, eh?
You spilled Dad's beer. Mom, Dad, Doug broke your beer.
Hey, no way.
Sorry about that nervous breakdown you had, though. I guess it kind of screwed up your career, eh?
You had a nervous breakdown, eh? Me too, when he was born.
Take off, you loser.
You take off, you numb.
Okay.
Quick thing. I was reading the IMDb trivia shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I guess Steve Martin... I think Amanda Hussey was she was
Olivia.
Olivia Hussey, I'm sorry. She was auditioning for Roxanne for the title role that eventually would go to Daryl Hannah.
Yeah.
But when Steve Martin was reading with her, he was like, oh my
huge
God.
Huge fan.
I'm a huge fan. I've seen your film like 27 times. And she thought he was talking about Romeo and Juliet. But he was actually talking about this Black Christmas. And that's just awesome.
Yeah, right? Steve Martin, the king of comedy, fucking being like, I love your horror movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I think for the time of, like, Halloween, Psycho, and all that stuff, this is up there with a good, solid horror thriller.
Yeah, I mean, this...
I mean, the sorority house, you're not really... You're not getting... There's not, like, straight, you know, sex scenes and tit shots left and right. You know, they actually played it like a straightforward film, and I think that's what caught me off guard.
You know what else she's in that I just realized? Psycho 4. She played Norman's mom.
Oh shit, yeah. In the rain and all that crap.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. She was the crazy mom.
That's one with all the more incest stuff.
Yeah, where he was like getting turned on by her and shit, and he got a boner while they're rolling around wrestling. And
I always thought it was that other chick from Sleepwalkers. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Sleepwalkers.
Yeah,
Stephen King's?
Yeah. You remember that chick from Sleepwalkers?
Yeah, where everybody turns into fucking cats.
Yeah, that's weird.
God, Stephen King could write anything. Shit. Man, need a scary story about a Pringles can.
And virtual reality.
Lawnmower Man!
I'll give you a Lawnmower Man.
No shit, I didn't know Bob Clark died. They were killed in a head-on crash with his fucking son.
Like 2007 or something, right?
That sucks.
Yeah. Because like all the stuff he did back in the day was like the later years of like Baby's Day Out and stuff like that.
Porky's. Like Porky's 2. The Christmas Story.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But man, the older stuff was like really...
From the Hip, your favorite movie.
Oh yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, he was in a lot. I mean, he did a lot of shit.
Literally. Near the end there.
Super Babies? Baby Geniuses 2?
Baby
too?
Geniuses?
Come on, bro.
You got like locked in on like CG.
Never heard of it.
Golly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know nothing about this. But I do know about loose cannons.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd and Gene Hackman.
Love that.
What
the fuck is he doing in that fucking room? God, that was like the worst fucking person to have stay the night at your house.
Dude, I mean, but like they made this on a shoestring, but I can understand where people say that Halloween took a lot of cues from this. People were saying that this is one of the original inventors of slasher. Yes and no. This is more of a thriller. It's considered slasher, though.
Yeah.
And you know how you never see the reveal of the person, kind of like Michael, you don't ever really. Well, you do see him in that first one with the mask off, but.
You never see this.
Yeah, like you don't even know, you don't know what happened.
By the end of the film, you still don't know. And I love that. Mm-mm. The ambiguity of it, it's like, it's awesome. Because yeah. I know when the whole ending sequence happens and it's in the basement, you for a second there, I thought maybe it was like the chick being like maybe like insane, you know? Like maybe she was manifesting this somehow, you know? But she was in the shots with the phone call, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they came up with this whole idea off the... babysitter and the man upstairs, urban legend.
Yep.
You know, like a, there was a movie like Stranger Calls Back or something. Yeah, some I think that was like
the
one.
Yeah.
But that was way down the line.
Yeah.
But yeah, this gave birth to a lot of new ideas in the horror genre.
Oh, and shooting it wise.
Ironically, this is the same year Texas Chainsaw Massacre came out. So
totally different spectrums.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, one that's just pure.
Intensity.
Like hard, yeah, and this one plays like it just unsettling because you know it's in the house all the time because the viewer's cued in to the killer's POV so many times, like that beginning sequence when you see the camera through the plastic bag and stuff like that, and you see that initial kill, and then you see the collection growing in the attic, you know? He's rocking the girl and playing the songs, or singing to her, I'm sorry, and then when he takes out the landlady and stuff like that, I mean, he's creating like this family or gathering of his own Christmas kind of, and it's awesome. I mean, it was fun.
They keep saying the name on the phone, Billy.
Yep.
But you never actually get a backstory. You don't know if this person's actually Billy. Like, you know, nothing. Like, literally, it's just a person in the house killing a bunch of people and you never see him.
Yeah.
You see hands. That's about it. And eyeball.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great. I love the way they shoot the eyeball, especially in that. Like,
dude, his eye was weird. Like, yeah, it was, had like black with like orange in it and shit.
You remember like the new Exorcist TV show when they get possessed and you see like the other eyeball? It kind of reminded me of that for some reason.
Yeah.
But even at the very beginning of the film, when you're listening to Silent Night and they're creeping around the house and they're showing people show up or leaving the party, you also get that POV right there from the beginning. Like it's something arriving to the house to kind of torment them. As we get introduced to Olivia Hussey's boyfriend, who's like, I don't know, damn near borderline schizophrenic Amadeus kind of guy. I mean,
guy's got terrific hair.
Well, he's like so sensitive. And then you see him when he's like playing at the recital concert thing. He's just sweating his ass off playing like.
Those, fucking up.
Yeah. And you're just, you don't know where the fuck this guy's like at right now.
Yeah, he plays kind of like the MacGuffin. He has reason to go after this girl because she ends up pregnant with this kid.
And saying, hey.
And saying, I'm going to get her aborted. And he's like, don't you fucking do it. And she's like, yeah, I'm doing it.
It's like, we'll get married, okay?
I'm not dropping all my shit for you.
Yeah,
I've studied my ass off.
I have dreams.
You want to be a pianist. A 12-inch pianist. Anybody get that joke? Nobody gets that joke? Guy walks into a bar.
He's going to walk us through it.
I'll tell him so everybody knows. He walks into a bar. He opens up his jacket and he sets down a little piano on the bar. And the bartender's looking at him like, what the fuck is this guy going to do? And he reaches into his other pocket and pulls out a little 12-inch pianist. And the pianist goes where the piano starts playing. And the guy's like, that's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Where'd you get that? He goes, well, I met a genie. He goes, really? He goes, yeah, it's in this lamp. And he's like, you got to speak up if you're going to wish, though. He goes, all right. Rubs it. He's like, I want $1 million. All of a sudden, a bunch of ducks fly in. He goes, what the hell's with that? And he goes, you really think I asked for a 12-inch pianist? Anyone? Anyone?
Gay!
Awesome. Fuck off.
Hey, you're getting laughs out there somewhere, okay?
All right,
they're phoning it in.
Change station.
LOL. Send.
LOL. I'm not going to send that. Delete. Whatever. That's a good joke.
You gotta laugh somewhere out there. Somebody snickered. Somebody's in their car right now going,
fucking, I want a 12-inch pianist.
Wait till I told my mom this joke.
Or your 4-year-old. Hey, you want to do it.
Randomly, you know.
Yeah. Strange thing. When they, fuck off, when they aired this on TV.
Oh, yeah.
It received huge backlash because this aired 1 week before Ted Bundy's murders in Florida.
Oh, wow.
So when it aired, you know, when the movie airs, they'll air it for like a month.
Yeah.
So when it aired, Ted Bundy got caught killing all these co-eds in a similar fashion, cut their heads off, bludgeoning them to death. The head of the studio that was, you know, showing it on TV was like, whoa, we got to pull this off, because he got like something like 150,000 letters.
Jesus.
Pissed off because it was so similar.
Yeah.
And they thought they, these people were trying to capitalize it. They didn't, you know, nobody understood how movies work. They thought they made it because of the Bundy murders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever they call it, socialize or whatever.
But yeah, I mean, it received huge backlash. And Governor Rubin Askew told NBC president, pull that fucking thing off. So.
Yeah, because I mean, seeing that on regular basic cable, that's it. Because that's what's so great about this film is that it does so much without showing too much. Plastic over a face shouldn't be that terrifying, but they play it to the point where really, like
Halloween had more violence. And in Halloween, what do you have?
Yeah.
You don't have blood. Yeah. You have a little bit of blood on Jamie Lee. That's it.
Like when Margot gets it with the unicorn thing, it's like that glass ornament, probably about as, you know.
Yeah, I forgot there's a little bit of blood in that scene only.
And because when you see the kill at the end of the film, and you don't see it, it's done off screen. You literally just see like orange like paint.
Oh, that's right. And then he props him up. Yeah, I forgot all about that. So yeah, there's a
very little.
Little.
It's completely minute. Tame.
You watch Friday 13th? That's 10 times the blood that this has. So
I think there's more blood in like a SNL skit, you know, sometimes. You watch like the one where, like, Chris Farley and them are jumping in the polar bear fucking exhibit.
Go on.
You've seen that one?
No.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. They're at a polar bear exhibit, and one of the guys drops his wallet and says, I'm going to go in and get my polar bear. You know, go get my wallet from the polar bear. Oh, good God! You see, like, blood just douching everybody that's, like, watching. It's like, I'm going to go try to help Ted. And another guy jumps in. Same shit. Blood goes everywhere. It's a clock.
I've never seen that SNL.
Oh, yet. Dude, you got to look up the polar bear exhibit. It's a great one with Adam Sandler and Chris. And
God, I wish Chris Farley was still around. He, some of these movies could benefit with him in it.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine. Like Chevy Chase, it's like you never really found, like, Steve Martin was able to write his own stuff, so he was able to find a place for his comedy. Chevy and Chris, they never wrote their own stuff, so it's like they never really had.
Chevy was too busy snorting blow and banging hookers, dude. Like,
but he was such a good, you know.
Comedic? Oh my God, he's hilarious.
I watched Fletch the other day and I was just laughing my ass off because I was just like.
Now, John who?
John Cocktoastone.
It's a beautiful name.
Well, it's Scotch Romanian.
It's an odd combination.
Yeah, well, so are my parents.
He's, I don't know. I mean, I enjoy a lot of Chevy Chase films.
Can I show you something?
I was just smiling. I was just browsing.
For your wife or your girlfriend?
What? What happened? Woof. I guess it wouldn't be any. Wouldn't be the Christmas shopping season if the stores were any less hotter than they are. Ooh, it is warm in here.
Well, you have your coat on.
Yes. Oh, do I? How did that happen?
Because it's cold out?
Yes. Yes. It is. It's a bit nipply out. I mean nippy out. What did I say? Nipple? There is a nip in the air, though.
Can I take something out for you?
I was just looking at something for my wife. God rest her soul.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. She's not dead. We're just divorced. She's history. And obviously she doesn't wear underwear. And there are plenty of shopping days left until adulthood Which is to say Christmas, as in Yule log. Not a log, I don't have a log, but I mean, you know, just, if I had a log, not in the sense that you think I said I did. Oh, good golly. 'Tis the season to be merry.
Well, that's my name.
Oh, shit.
Dude, Chevy Chase had, like, I don't know who wrote for him, if he just could come in and play shit like that, but
that was
he was genius, magical. Dude. Like, Fletch, you go a million quotes into Fletch and Fletch Lives.
Just that ending scene in fucking Christmas Vacation where it's like, four Fletch motherfuckers! I love that fucking sequence.
Hey! If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood... sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
Yeah, we're reviewing fucking Black Christmas.
God, yeah.
There's nothing quite that good in this movie, but there's some definitely funny parts.
Yeah.
Yule log. Not a log, I don't know.
Not that I don't have
not in the sense that you think I have a log.
God, I love that shit.
Tis the season. All right, so yeah, I mean, this movie, you kind of run into you'll have some low moments.
Yeah,
I mean, it face it, it's 1974, kids. We're not gonna, because, you know, it's not going to be every 10 minutes you get a death.
When the girl's dad's looking for, I mean, it literally goes death, then next day, and then the dad's looking for the daughter the next day, and then it just leads into the father going to the sorority house asking the, you know, the landlord lady, you know, where the hell's my daughter at? And she's trying to protect, you know, this girl's, you know, college freedoms and stuff like that, you know. But it's just hilarious the way she's doing it. She's like, Jesus Christ, I'm doing my best. God damn it. You know, it's like,
I love when they're leaving, she covers the
peace sign, yeah, the nude chick, yeah, guy mounting
over. And she's like standing there like real awkward,
let's
long
go,
time.
Let's go.
And the guy's just like, uh-huh. Like,
really?
She's like, can you give me a ride? Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the deaths, I mean, he takes her out with almost like an old school like theater trick where you throw like that big, you know, turnbuckle and shit on the rope and knocks her the fuck out with the hook on it.
Dude, yeah.
That was fucking wicked.
And he pulls her up by it.
Fuck. That was a kind of cool thing about Billy. You know, it was an unsettling creepiness because, you know, you get introduced to the Mona real early. And what's cool is they actually tap into some of the old school shit with the way they would trace the call back in the day. And I love that they would actually go watch and visually look for the switchboard to be firing off to see which, you know, where the phone call could be traced back to. I thought that was awesome.
Dude, seeing how, like, that blew my mind, like, watching that dude trying to trace the phone call.
That was awesome.
So it was just like, Jesus, how bad does your job fucking suck? Like, you are literally looking at millions of landlines and you have to find the terminal and then check which terminal port is plugged in. I mean, it's fucking crazy.
Awesome.
Crazy. Dude. Yeah, it's badass. See how
it's like you're walking around in the Matrix.
For real. Like the guide tubes in the Matrix. Like, you're awesome. Just like, fuck. But yeah, he's like, you know, after three phone calls, like, yeah, he gets to the box, but it hangs up and he's just like, fuck.
Yeah. Gotta get her to stay on the phone a little longer.
And I love John Saxon in this movie. Yeah. He is great. Far better than Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, they give him so much more to do, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, watch it, fucking Lieutenant. I'm gonna knock you down to fucking Boy Scout.
Yeah, dude. The whole fellatio scene, I mean, he's hilarious in it. And he, you know, he's like, he keeps telling people like, hey, don't laugh. And then he's like, like he kind of cracks up at it too.
He's just amazed. Like, he's like, you haven't put all this shit together. The girl's missing. We find a dead body. These girls are getting a fucking, it's like, God, you think we should.
Love when he's like, Nash, the call's coming from in the house. call them right away and tell her to walk out the front door. Tell her exactly what I'm going to tell you. Put the phone on the hook and walk right out the front door. I'll be there in 5 minutes. And Nash, if you fuck this up, I will kill you.
It's like the best.
Be calm. Then Nash calls the lady. Nash is hilarious too.
God, yeah.
He's like, ma'am, are you the only one in the house? She's like, no, my two friends are upstairs sleeping. Ma'am, here's what I'm going to want you to do. I'm going to want you to set the phone down on the ringer and walk outside. But I got to get my friend. No, don't get your friends. I'm going to get my friend. Ma'am, get outside.
That's awesome.
He like totally freaks out and fucks it up.
It's like, God damn it, John.
God.
One fucking job.
One fucking job, you're asshole.
Desk sergeant.
God, he's going to be promoted to fucking Boy Scouts after this. But yeah, like it's fun. It's a cat and mouse game. You don't ever get a killer reveal. And you know, it picks them off one by one by one.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of depth in this movie, so it's not, you know, we couldn't take this over an hour if we wanted to.
No, I mean, when you listen to things like commentaries and you read like documentaries and stuff, there's a lot of wealth of things that go on behind the scenes, but to just take the movie for what it's worth, it's a great stand-up movie. It's a little slow for my taste, but...
Well, you gotta imagine, though, I mean...
Well, for then...
Don't think of Texas Chainsaw Massacre that came out the same year, but think of, like, Halloween, think of The Fog. It's a slow burn.
But I feel this is, like, Psycho kicked up to, like, an 8 or a 9,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and they really build some badass thrillers, and there's obviously a bigger body count in this.
And Margot Kidder's fucking funny in this movie.
Yeah,
dude.
She does.
I mean, I don't remember a lot of lines off the top of my head. Like I said, first time yesterday, 2 days ago
was
the first time ever seeing it.
The first line she says to her mom on the phone is like, God, you're a gold-plated whore mother. I was like, God damn.
And then telling the sergeant, oh yeah, fellatio's our number. That was awesome. What do you mean fellatio's your number? Yeah, it's fellatio. It's a new thing. Okay, how do I write that down? F-E? 89796 She spouts off the numbers and he's just like totally buys it.
It's awesome.
But Nash is a fucking idiot. So.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah,
I love Saxon's like little partner there, his other detective.
He's laughing in every scene. That's all he does.
He was waiting for Saxon to look for the number. He was like, God damn, he finally saw the fucking number. God, I love that scene.
Yeah, there's some good comedy in this movie, man. Yeah.
And leave it to the guy who would later direct Porky's and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, not in the end, Olivia Hussey thinks she kills, you know, she kills her boyfriend because she actually thinks it's him. Why he broke into the basement window to get her.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, there you are in the corner.
Are you okay?
What's going on? Bing brain.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to attack you.
Yeah, really, dude. Like, you have no idea. A, he has no idea anything's happening. B, why are you breaking into my cellar window? You see me down here and you kick in the window?
You, like, scrape the ice off the window to look in.
And then you walk up all creepily.
But that's the thing that sells me that it wasn't him. Totally. Like, in my mind,
it's... Oh, yeah. I knew it wasn't.
Because, I mean, you see that creepy-ass eye and that fucking door crack, which is beautiful, and it's just like, hey, Agnes. You know, all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And
he's you know, he's set up to be the fall guy. Like, the cops think it's him. Everybody thinks it's him. But she's like, he was with me when the phone call happened. And so, you know.
It's very, like, Wes Craven pre-Scream kind of, like, to an extent, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this had a lot of smart things happening in it, so.
I'm amazed there wasn't a sequel to this. Like a Black Christmas too.
Me know? Too. Like, I thought this was like a Silent Night
like
thing.
A Return of Billy.
Fucking 8 of them.
Yeah.
But no, this one and its remake, and that's it.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we'll just get into some final thoughts on it.
Kick it off, man. Because I mean, you're the one that threw this to me.
I mean, look, for being something that I've never seen, being as old as it is, and being in the era of movies that I love in the 70s.
Totally.
I'm shocked that I didn't see this earlier. I'm kind of pissed off at myself because I would love to know more. There's two good documentaries on YouTube right now about this movie. One's a four-parter. The other one's like 30 minutes long, but they're so old. It's like straight up from a VHS. So the volume is very hard to hear.
Gotcha.
You know, it has that fucking air ringing to it. it's fucking good. I would consider it a classic. I mean, You know, it's not a Halloween and it's not a Texas Chainsaw, but it's the seed. You know, it's one of the roots that was planted to grow into the slasher thriller genre that we have today. So, I mean, I give this high recommends and I'd say a buy. If you love 70s, early 80s, early 70s cinema, this is your taste if you haven't seen it. So, yeah, absolute buy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, this would be a fun pickup if you can catch it, you know. I'm not sure. I was trying to check it out on Amazon to see if it was a Scream Factory release. It looks like it might be a Shout Factory, Scream Factory release, collector's edition, out on Blu-ray. So that might be fun to keep an eye out because, yeah, this has a place on the book, you know, on the bookshelf, you know, with the collection. It's a solid film. There's such weird iconic imagery. That shot of the eye in that crack of the door, mm-hmm. The scene where he comes up with the ornament and you see like that just awesome shadow, but somehow they lit his eye still because like, it's caught.
It's like a quarter of his face.
I love that kind of shit, man. It sold good. It was sold well. It was sold really good. But the POV stuff for all the kills, it was very reminiscent of Halloween and Psycho and what you would see with like some of the Italian directors do, like Dario Argento and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of gore, so to push it in that slasher realm, I guess it's kind of hard. But yeah, it stays definitely in that safe zone where it's like almost very dark thriller, very reminiscent of like Psycho and stuff like that for me. I'm not gonna lie though, it put me to sleep twice. It was late. Wasn't really feeling kind of like after that halfway mark, I kind of like fell off. I don't know how, but. Yeah, when Margot Kidder's having her asthma attack and her nightmare, it was kind of like right around there. I would kind of drift off. I would have to rewind the movie and kind of watch it from there again to kind of get through it finally. But all in all, I give it high marks. Yeah,
bye.
If you can find it cheap, I think I'd buy it.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's on the Showtime app. So
yeah, I can't be more happy about that.
On Xbox awesome. Or fucking whatever. So yeah. If you've got Showtime on your phone, bam, it's right there
at your fingertips.
Okay, now we're going to get into the Black Christmas 2006 remake. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was watching this, I almost thought it was like a sequel because
yeah,
like it gives so much Billy backstory. He's in an insane asylum. People are calling already.
Well, it was weird that it was like a tradition for them to leave a gift out to Billy under the tree. The sorority girls would leave a Billy present.
Because it's the urban legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then... But you, while they're doing this, it cuts to the sanitarium, you know, the insane asylum.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
And, you know, the guy's giving everybody's Christmas gifts in their cell door, you know, opening the slot and sliding it in. And the Santa guy walks in. He's like, well, the door's open. This isn't the children's ward? And the security guard's, no, this is the mental patient ward. And he goes, oh, wait, Billy, well, I forget his last name, Wise or something like that. He's like, is that the Billy? And he's like, yeah, that's him. Guy has tried to escape like 6 times. God, and he's like, oh, I thought he was a legend. He's like, well, he is in his own right. He's like, what are you giving him? And he's giving him like this nasty like chicken.
Deep fried chicken skins or something like that.
Chicken skins and candy canes.
It's the closest thing we can get to his mom.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, dude, what the fuck? And when they would later explain that, I was like, oh, man.
Right? It was fucking gross. But you see Billy and, you know, you're like, what the fuck?
They did the eye. They did the eeriness. Mm-hmm. I mean, they capitalized on what the original kind of set up.
Yeah, I mean.
To some extent.
And you're looking at him at first and you're like, is my television color off? Like, you don't understand. And then they do this backstory on Billy when he is born. And he had a rare liver disease, which turned his skin like bright yellow. And immediately I was like, that yellow bastard from Sin City.
That's
like,
awesome.
You pervert.
God. I was lucky enough. I me and the wife, and I think the brother-in-law, we all went and caught this Christmas Day when it came out in 2006. We were there like literally Christmas Day. We did all the family shit, and we said, "Hey, let's go see this horror film, Black Christmas." And we went and saw it, and yeah, it was fun. But I hadn't seen it since. So when I saw it pop up on like cable, I was happy to watch this again because it was like, you know, reminiscing.
Yeah, the director Glenn Morgan.
Oh yeah.
He did the Trick or Treat.
Oh wow.
And he did Final Destinations, gotcha. 1 and 3.
That's why his name sounds familiar.
And he also did The One.
Sweet.
So
yeah, directing credits, not too many, but I think he had a lot of writing credits.
Well, he's uncredited as the director in Trick or Treat.
So oh, wow.
I don't know if he just filmed like a couple scenes as filler, you know, for, because what's his name did that?
Yeah, I forget the guy. Yeah, he did.
Michael.
Daughtry?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he did Krampus and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, this is 1986 Trick or Treat.
Oh, that old school one.
Yeah, never mind.
Shit, I don't even remember the old school one. I gotta rewatch that.
I guess I should look at
years
date.
no, I thought Glenn Morgan did. I think
like, this guy did Spartacus.
Like he wrote with like somebody for like with Final Destination and stuff like that. But
yeah, James Wong.
Oh wow, yeah, cool. Yeah. That's awesome because I know there were big deals with like X Files and Final Destination and shit like that.
Well,
but whatever.
But I was shocked mainly at some of the big stars in this. Like they weren't big stars in the time, but let's see here. This is what 2006. So. You got Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh, yeah. She was amazing.
You've got the fucking blonde chick who played...
the main blonde chick from...
From Nightmare on Elm Street remake, which, yeah. Man, this chick can't act worth shit.
She's still awesome.
You've got Michelle. A couple of old people returning alumni, you know.
Yeah. Because I remember that Lacey Chabert, she came out in Lost in Space. She was like the little girl in Lost in Space with Gary Oldman and all them and that film. And then Michelle Trachtenberg, she comes out in a lot of things like yeah. Gossip Girl and a lot of other...
Euro Trip.
Yeah, there you go, Euro Trip.
Mm-hmm.
But the chick you were going to mention, I'm sorry, was what, Andrea Martin? Was she the brunette chick?
Katie Cassidy was the blonde. Yeah. You're right. Sorry. Andrea Martin, you're correct. But yeah, she was in the original.
And she was the chick with the glasses?
Yeah.
Awesome.
She was the nerd.
That's cool.
So immediately I'm like, oh, okay. So this kind of like a sequel 20 years later because she's in it. And then, but it's not. This is a 100% remake. So,
and when they
retelling.
Did it, yeah. It was a great reboot in my eyes because I know you're going to be, you know, we're going to go back and forth. But the one thing I took away from this right off the get-go was like the gore was just amped up to like.
Holy fuck.
Fuck.
Holy fuck, was it amped up.
Dude,
everything this guy does, he goes after the eyeballs.
It's bloody as shit, man.
I mean, he wraps them real tight in a fucking plastic bag and then gouges their eyes out and, like, just, like, rips them out. Although one part that I was just like, what the fuck? He pulls out both the eyes and they're attached. I was like, that's not how eyeballs are.
That's awesome, though.
They're not attached like that.
But when it cuts later and you see him like hanging from the tree, I thought that was like awesome because you like literally from like the optical cord and shit.
Yeah, but the optical cord goes back.
Yeah.
It's not like a pair.
It's not like your lower intestine.
It's,
just,
it's not like the thing that keeps your sunglasses from falling off. You know what I mean?
You mean they don't just, you know, go to the bottom of the draw, wrap around?
I mean, they might. I don't know. What do I know?
Like a safety nut?
Jesus Christ. It's all pull here.
Dude, when he nails Michelle Trachtenberg, when she's trying to get out the window and he grabs like the fucking skates and he just lops her in the back of the head and he's like, you see her head fall and it's just like the back of her head's just gone.
Yeah, it just shaves it right off.
Like brain and skull exposed. I was like, oh, like,
where were those skates for fucking Emilio Estevez in the Mighty Ducks?
Dude, shit.
Quack. 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 Gordon. Quack. Stop. Quack. 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 Quack, 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 quack.
Oh, no sequel for you, John.
I mean, we won't do too much walkthrough on this because it's pretty much the same fucking movie.
Yeah,
but I do want to talk backstory and some production.
Oh, yeah. Because when you go to the backstory, I mean, it's shot very gritty and dirty, like dirty sepia tones. I mean, you're in the same house, but it's just like fucking alcoholics are barely surviving.
This mom is disgusting.
Yeah.
Like the dad was a pretty good looking, kind of like handsome man.
God. But he's all
he married the trash of the trash, dude. Jeez. They're smoking cigarettes in the, you know, right next to this newborn baby.
Yeah.
The dad loved the baby. The mom hated the baby because it reminded her of the dad and she hated the dad. So, like, yeah, there's this baby in its crib. Like, we're talking like a 6 month old.
Yeah.
Yellow as fuck. She walks up and grabs baby's first Christmas, what do you call those? Ornament.
Yeah.
And smashes it and drops the glass into the baby crib.
Jeez.
While smoking a cigarette. Like blowing it right in the baby's face. And I'm just like, oh my God.
God damn it.
This bitch needs it bad.
And every fucking flashback just escalates. And like depravity of this fucking woman, like the mother character. But what's weird is in this, it's like the phone calls are really like, she's in my family now. Or it's like, you're what the fuck? It's like the voice is like, it's not as fucking hypersexual. It's more of like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you. You're part of my family. It's like all this weird kind of shit. And the way it escalates about the screams and cries between Billy and Agnes and all this stuff. I mean, you get a lot of cool, weird shit that doesn't really add up until, you know, later in the film.
Yeah. I mean, then there's another flashback, like when he's like 8 years old.
She's fucking the dad.
No, not
that one. I'm sorry.
It's, you know, he's getting ready to open his presents and the mom's just sitting there going, Santa's fucking dead. The Soviets shot him down. He crashed and burned. Blah, blah, blah. And you can see this kid's just like, fuck. And the dad's very nice. And he whispers to him, hey, man, you know, I think Santa left something in your room in your little hiding spot. And so he runs up there, peels, you know, goes in the closet and peels out this present. And it's this cool, like, little, like, telescope.
Yeah.
And fucking all of a sudden he hears his parents yelling. And he goes and peeks and...
Yeah, because
he sees the dad get his brains bashed in by the mom and this other guy.
Yeah.
So he runs up in the attic and they lock him in there.
Yep.
And then like 14 years pass and he's still locked up there. And the mom and this new guy are, you know, fucking on the stairway and
he can't last.
He passes out.
Yeah.
And so she goes upstairs and fucks her son.
Yeah.
Gets pregnant, has a new baby. Oh
God! And then like you have that weird scene, like she's open. She gives the daughter the present, and the daughter's looking at the doll. But then you hear the like you know all that stuff in the
it's
attic.
Fucking nothing.
God damn! So you just got like this pure like fucking. I mean, it's just an episode of fucking Springer. Sorry, it's like episode. It's a bad horror episode of fucking Springer.
You take Maury, Wilkos, and Jerry. It's all fucking mashing together.
You are the psychotic father,
dude. So yeah, I mean, Billy's been locked up in this attic for I think like 14 something years.
Yeah,
and he finally escapes and kidnaps the daughter.
Yeah,
and you know the mom's running around the house, Billy. And fucking, she's making cookies, so, you know, I forget how he whacks out the dad.
Yeah, he kills the dad. I don't know how. I fucking, yeah.
Totally spaced it. But he rips the little girl's eye out, his sister, daughter. He rips her fucking eye out.
Yep.
And then goes after the mom and clubs her ass to death with a rolling pin.
And then it escalates so much in that kitchen.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. me and Nate were talking about this. And I go, the one imagery I can never shake is that damn cookie cutter scene. He just takes like this little gingerbread cookie cutter and just starts stamping her back. And then he takes these pieces of flesh and puts them on like, you know, your cooking pan, throws it in the fucking oven. And when the cops, next thing you see is the cops walking in with the flashlights and shit. And Billy's at the table with a cup of milk and these flesh cookies. And he's just, guy's just dipping him in the fucking milk and eating these flesh cookies from his mom. And I was telling Nate, like, this is some of the like goriest, funnest shit you see.
So
oh
gross.
Man, it was just gross too.
It's gross
because then it plays back to like that's why they give him the fried chicken skins and shit.
But what's funny is you know how the director came up with all these ideas?
No,
he researched Edmund Kemper, the real life serial killer.
Oh, sweet.
Who his mother locked him in the basement every day for fuck his first like 15 years. And when he got out, he cut her head off and fucked the mouth hole while telling the deadhead to, oh, you like that? Shut up, bitch. Suck on my dick. Like,
Jesus.
You know, he's fucking his mother's deadhead.
Very high tension of him.
Dude. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, all like his entire basis for Billy in this was all off Edmund Kemper.
That's crazy, man. That's
gross.
God damn. And what's funny is like, not funny, but it was just like, you. Next thing you do is you do the escape. And when they show the escape, when he leaves the present for the guard, and the guard goes in to check on like that, and he sees like there's the toilet removed, and there's like a hole. And then right behind him,
a candy cane through the back of the head.
That's awesome.
What I love is the Santa Claus guy, because he's still walking around like, hey, what, Merry Christmas, ladies. And like the hot nurses are like, hey, Santa, get off in an hour. He's like, oh, come sit on my lap. Like,
so will I. It's
like, yeah, so will I. But like he's just you know, fleshing it up with these chicks, and a door opens behind him, and then the next thing you see is fucking Billy in the Santa suit carrying around this thing.
Goddamn.
And fucking throws it in the trash and an arm sticking out.
I love the imagery for that shit, dude. I mean, I mean, I love the idea of this Billy character. It's just, it's a menacing character. He's a creepy motherfucker.
He's sick.
Because once he gets in the house,
he's a victim of incest and abuse and negligence and disease. And it's like, fuck, dude, man. You poor kid.
Because when you see the... You get alluded to it a little bit in the original of like how Billy's always keeping an eye on the girls through the house. Mm-hmm. But in this, you actually see like him push a little tile out of it. I liked it because it was like he pushes a tile out of the way and he's just watching the girl take the shower. And
yeah, but like literally he would have to like, oh, yeah, where's his eyeball on his temple? Because it's like flush to the floor.
To get the shot. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was a little too much. You know, there's holes in the stairways, holes in
the
here.
Crawl spaces there.
That was kind of cool, him, like, wiggling through all the crawl spaces.
I like that. But, yeah, you're right. It was very X-Files, like, bullshit.
Oh, God. Yeah. And, yeah, one of the chicks gets super drunk and starts taking a shower, and you get a little booty in this scene. Yeah. A nice ass.
She was getting trash. She was just fucking.
Yeah, drinking wine and taking shots of brandy. It's like gross,
Jesus
dude.
Christ. She's a TFW with us or something.
And then you get another... then you get another MacGuffin character, and not Agnes, but the nerdy blonde roommate.
Yeah.
And she ironically hands her the crystal...
The unicorn thing.
Unicorn, yeah. And says, oh, I know you're into the Bible and stuff. What the fuck does unicorns have to do with the Bible?
It's in one of the final chapters.
And Christ on this day was delivered by a unicorn. Maybe that's why he's born in a manger.
There you go. But then you have all the crap. there's a bunch of twists that you get with this. The girl has a boyfriend. But the boyfriend's also fucking one of her sorority sisters. There's a webcam fucking debacle.
A lot of unnecessary shit.
Yeah, when the one girl at the beginning that gets the bag, instead of the father being introduced like in the original, you get a sister that's just relentless, like, I won't leave until she's alive until I see her dead body.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And she was like, I'm an alumni. And the lady's like, when were you here? And she's like, 92. And she's like, I was the head stewardess here, you know, in 92. I don't remember.
Now
you.
She's a MacGuffin. You don't know.
Yeah. Like, but I'm glad you brought up that computer part because there's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever, close to the dumbest thing I've ever seen in a movie. It's a step above grabbing a Ferris wheel ledge to escape a killer. But they're sitting there in the computer in this chick's room, and the guy pushes out a thumbtack in the wall. The killer pushes out a thumbtack in the wall, and he's able, like, and then it does like a eye shot of him looking through the thumbtack hole, but it's literally my middle finger size thickness. It's like the thumbtack was never even in the wall.
Well, you actually see like the thumbtack hole bleed because like he pushed it. I was like, what the?
And then when they zoom up to the thumbtack hole, it's fucking like I stuck my middle finger through it. It's huge.
I'm just keeping an eye on this
shit.
Not
saying my middle finger's huge, ladies.
Not that I have a log.
Not that I have a log.
But yeah, man, you're right.
No shit.
That's my name. yeah, I mean, you poke holes in this fucking thing.
But big holes.
Yeah, but I like when things did escalate to a point and like the fucking ladies thing was just like, let's just get in the fucking car and get the fuck out of here.
Smart. Finally. I love that. They go inside and the older chick that was in the original movie fucking
just like,
everybody's all scrambling. I'm like, this is how you get bitches to scramble. Like, yeah. They just sprawl out. And what's funny is like this, the older lady, like she's just in the background. She grabs her fucking scarf. She grabs her coat. She grabs her keys. She's like, I'm fucking leaving.
Yeah.
I suggest y'all come with me. And ironically enough, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who's always, you know, a predominantly stand-up character in horrors, she's like, I'm fucking leaving too. And the lady's like, we're sisters. You don't leave your sister. You're like family. She's like, I'll send help. I'm fucking out of here.
I love that, man.
Then they get in the car and... I love this scene, dude. Like,
God, you think the lady's like trying to start a car and you don't know if she's going to be able to start it, right?
Yeah, and
like,
the other one's pulling at the door. I'm like, I'm the fucking door already.
Boom!
She kicks it out.
Get in!
So she gets in, the car starts, and then she pulls out a wire brush.
Oh, man, that's awesome. And Elizabeth Boynton just stares at her. She goes, "What is that?" And the chick's like, "Oh, you southern little fucking princess bitch."
She gets scraping her windshield.
And I love that shot because you see, like, she finally gets the ice to scrape a little bit. But they do that long shot where it kind of shows you the back. Mary Elizabeth's in the front seat, and you see that long shot of, like, the rest of the car. Mm-hmm. And you see, like, the red leather seats and stuff. And then when the chick's outside scraping, you see that little hole, and you see Billy's eye.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, a fucking, like, Cobain bloodshot across the windshield.
Jesus Christ!
It's just this huge bloodshot that just splatters the fucking windshield. It's lit so beautiful.
But a problem is, what, Mary Kate or Mary Elizabeth not see him in
because he's
up on the dash.
You hear the thud of the struggle, and then she finally scrapes, and then she sees the eye. So I'm thinking there was an attack. She gets spotted, and he just fucking collapse. Whatever the fuck is.
That's a head rip off, bro.
But man, when she backs up and she hits that little fucking garage door, fence door, and that icicle just like, I mean, it doesn't just stab her eye; it like literally goes
through
back into the skull, sticking out. That was awesome. And then now you have dead weight in front of the back gate, so you can't escape there.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
Comes into play later.
I forgot Michelle Trachtenberg. She does that one scene where they have to turn the fuse box back on. She has to do that crawl space under the...
But that one, Michelle that did it.
I wasn't...
No, it was the other brunette.
You're right.
She's like all the power goes out, and then the sister of the girl who's missing...
Yeah, you're right.
The father character, whatever. She's like, why is the house across the street have power and we don't? And so this other brunette chick starts fucking with the fuse box, and she's like, "What, do you know what you're doing?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm not as dumb as I lead on to be. Just fucking, you know, I just don't want to do anything." And so she flips all the fuses and nothing happens. She's like, "It's the outside fuse box." And she's like, "Well, go out there and fix it." She's like, "It's fucking freezing out there. I'm not going out there." She's like, "You're the only one who knows what you're doing." She's like, "Fuck, whatever." So she goes out there, and why is it under the house?
I have no idea.
It's not under the house. It's never under the house.
But you do that smoking. You know how hard it is to drop a fucking cigarette in, like, you know, something the size of a quarter?
Yeah.
She's like, and drops it. And he's like, "Oh, motherfucker."
My other eye.
God damn it.
But I don't know why she goes under the house.
But this is a big twist for me, because this is the first time you see like a non-POV.
Outline.
Yeah, because you see the long hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck,
Billy? Huge.
Yeah. Huge.
Huge. This is like 7 foot tall person with long hair.
So huge Billy with wig. I was like, I was stumped. I was like, what the fuck?
And then Billy still hasn't shown up. He just escaped when this is all happening. So it's like,
what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Who's doing the phone calls? Who's killing the people? Because people already start dying before Billy even gets out.
Introducing all that crap.
So you're wondering and fucking... Lo and behold, it's Agnes. It's his sister that he ripped her eyeball out.
That's a wicked twist.
I originally thought this was Nicole Bass. I really did. I had to look it up. It was a dude, but I was like, that's Nicole Bass. Because she's like 6'7" and like a bodybuilder.
This was like everything that inspired the Wayans to do White Chicks. Because like the makeup on this fucking character fucking was terrible.
it was creepy.
I was wanting her to like start singing that fucking doo 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 doo. Making my way back.
So yeah, I mean, like, the reveal is Agnes, and then Billy shows up, and they're both trying to get the final girls.
And the creepy Agnes voice was just like, "You're gonna meet my family." Like, Jesus Christ, lady.
Yeah, and then you know, this gets ridiculous.
Oh yeah, because like, because you. When the boyfriend comes in, he whips out the butterfly knife. "We're gonna look at once you see the dead body, we're out of here." Everybody's like, "Agreed." He goes up to that attic with the flashlight and shit, and man, grabs him with a plastic bag and just yanks him up like fucking Darth Vader style.
Nicole Bass.
Jesus Christ, it was awesome. And then man, she just fucking like stabs the fuck out of his eye.
Yeah, and then you know it's funny because this guy is a pretty stocky dude. He can't out-muscle this chick, but yet this final girl is...
kicking in her ass.
Yeah, every time that Agnes grabs her, she's able to throw her off and shit. And it's like, you are 5'4" and maybe 120, well, soaking wet in a sweater.
And your backup chick just like backsteps into the fucking like sheetrock ceiling, falls through. And it's like, oh, thanks for the help, dumbass.
Yeah, really. And then fucking, you know, so the blonde, god damn it, I'm going to get her.
God, and then the Billy reveal is just like fucking something out of Thriller.
He's Kelly. Like,
is
Kelly.
Gotcha.
Okay. She's the final girl. Kelly like starts climbing down walls and shit.
Yeah, because Billy comes out with like out of a crawl space and it's like, there's my dad. And I was like, what the fuck?
What?
God, see, now you got both of them up there in the final. Oh man, that battle between the crawl space, that little wall space.
His name is James Bass. I am Nicole Bass.
God damn. When Agnes drops at the bottom and then Billy's climbing down to get the girl in the middle.
The flaming Christmas tree.
God damn. I love that. And then she's breaking the fucking wall down. She like breaks the wall down to Billy instead of the other chick.
Oh God. And then, yeah, she has to run the floor below into the laundry room, break all that wall out. Pull her in, and very smart move. They just so happen to have a 5-gallon bucket of paint thinner.
No shit.
And then she squirts it all, boom, you know, fucking flames all go fucking all crazy. Is this the same house? It looks the exact same as the original.
It's huge. I mean, when you're having all these levels and floors, I don't know. In the original, I thought it was just upstairs, downstairs. This one made it sound like there's fucking like acreage.
Three levels. Yeah. It's like the White House.
What amazed me on this film is that this played almost like a Halloween 2 gimmick.
Yeah, a little bit.
When you go directly to the morgue.
But this is the dumbest part.
Okay.
Okay, they get the bodies to the morgue.
And you have that asshole on the fucking phone, like not wanting to spend time with his wife and kids.
Drinking. He's like, I am working.
I'm drinking this eggnog and I got autopsies to do.
Yeah, and then fucking hears, and he's like, what the fuck? He like goes over to the bag and he's like, unzips it, and there's the face, not burnt, mind you, the face of Agnes.
Yeah.
So he zips it up, and sure as shit, Billy sits right up, kills the guy. None of these people are burned. None of them are burned. Did they not check for a pulse?
Bag him and tag him, John.
Got it,
Did
Bill.
They just walk into a burning inferno and be like, ah, these two are perfect. We don't need to check their vitals.
That's a medical examiner's job.
Criminals have rights, sir. But yeah, it's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. Why
Billy jumps out and
like?
He unzips his daughter, Agnes, and then he just immediately...
Daughter, sister.
He immediately goes to like the ceiling tile. That's how I get around.
And those ceiling tile in those places do not hold weight.
Like, it's foam, right? It's like literally like
it's
particle.
Foam with little lead barriers. That's like, it. That's it. Like, you can bend one of those with your thumb.
Guy's like fucking shuffling along like I-beams and shit.
I've done deconstruction. Like, pull that down. Boom. And it's all hung by like a little line wire.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. It's a bitch to put up.
I think the only way you could go there is if you actually stick to like the top of the walls.
No! There's no wall.
No,
Yeah.
That's the only way you could fall.
The supporting structure.
That's it.
But still, he like crawls right up into it. It's like,
he finds her floor and everything.
Right? Is the morgue and the fucking ICU on the same floor?
Fuck, I guess.
They're like, dude, just save time. Fucking, they're dead. Next door.
Less mileage.
Oh, God. So the older sister of the missing person and Kelly are sitting in the hospital room. Kelly's in the hospital bed for what?
We need some last minute x-rays before the
For what? She took no bumps.
Well, he's going to leave. You mind if we just get some x-rays real fast?
Doctor, did you check if she had insurance? Fuck. But like the chick's like, oh, I guess you're my sister. I want to open my real sister's Christmas present with you here. It's a fucking watch.
Family forever.
And then the chick goes off to do x-ray. The chick that just got the watch gets killed and dumb shit. Kelly gets back from x-ray. She's laying in her bed and she finds the family forever medal off this
with blood
chick's
on it.
Watch with blood on it. She's just like, just like rolls over. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Another thing. So she runs the door, tries to open it. Agnes is coming at her. She grabs.
Your paddles.
Yeah. The paddles to revive people, you know, electroshock.
I forget what they're called.
And zaps her in the fucking head. Those paddles do not work without gel. You have to. That's why they always rub them together, because dry paddles don't work.
It would be like conductive, right?
It has to have a conductor.
Yeah, whatever.
Or else it doesn't work.
Well, she fried the bitch's face and she's dead.
Fucking
she got fried. She's dead.
Bitch dead.
And then the last battle was
survives a 3-foot drop onto her head, but a little paddle upside the head.
I love that she's running from Billy in this hospital. She trips over a fucking medical cart. Scalpels and shit go everywhere.
Oh, God.
He's over there trying to stab her at the stairwell. He lunges. She moves. And he just falls to his death. And then he gets impaled on the Christmas tree like a fucking star. Intestines and everything were like stretched out along the Christmas tree. The
tree would have crashed and broke.
It would. You mean that tree wouldn't have withheld the weight of a human being and impaled them?
No. No.
It was awesome.
No. At worst, he would Sonny Bono.
It was a disposition of disbelief, whatever you call it.
Yeah, dude, come on. It was suspension? It was
suspension of disbelief. Thank you. Disposition.
Disposition of this movie, that's for sure.
It was.
So, yeah, I mean, there you go. Let's do
final thoughts.
Yeah, let's do some final thoughts. Right.
This is the kind of goofy schlock that makes me happy sometimes.
Liar!
It's rare. You know, I have my moods. I'll say, oh, it's a pile of shit, or I didn't enjoy it. This was enjoyable because I was bored that night. I just watched Urban Legend.
Oh, that's why you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, I was sitting through a lot of schlock that was coming out late at night, and I watched this, and it was fun because I didn't remember it as much. And revisiting the original made me appreciate the original, you know, a shit ton more. But this was still fucking fun to just dig up and sit back and watch. If you can buy it for $3.99 on a DVD or Blu-ray, whatever, you know, I would put it in the list, especially if you got the original. I think if you got the original, this complements it because you get that gore fix, you know. Cast is fun, dialogue's goofy, everything was pretty fun. Without having that strong John Saxon character, there was a lack in that area. But all in all, Billy and Agnes are fun killers. It was goofy and just a silly, you know, I hate to say the word guilty pleasure, but it was a guilty pleasure. It was a cool fucking bullshit little horror film to check out and catch. And nothing bad, nothing too bad to say about it right now.
What are you think? Throwing a buy or
I'm throwing a buy. If you can buy it for like $9.99 or less, I think I'd pick it up.
What do you think?
I think you're all fucked in the head. We're 10 hours from the fucking fun park and you want to bail out. Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fucking fun we'll need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles. You'll be whistling Symphony Duda out of your assholes. I gotta be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose. Holy shit.
Dad, you want an aspirin or something?
Don't touch.
Yes. That is my thoughts on this. It is bullshit. 100% bullshit. This movie's. It does have entertaining parts. I'll give it that.
There you go. He liked it. It's a buy.
It's not the worst movie I've ever. It's a buy. No, it's not a buy by any stretch of the
imagination. I'll get it for you on Vudu.
No, this isn't a buy.
What can you say that's good about it, though? Final thoughts.
What
on this?
Will I say? Final thoughts. Yeah, no, this is not a buy. This isn't a rent either. This is a void. What this movie has is it came out in the same time period as, House of Wax has very much that style and feel to it. Just a little dirtier. God damn. Every fucking kill is something to do with pulling eyeballs out. It's like,
awesome.
Damn, fucking leave it alone. But like, I mean, this was in vain of House of Wax. It's very similar. And during that time frame, we also got, you know, House on Haunted Hill, and it falls with those. And I didn't like those movies. I thought they were all boring. The House of Wax is, as you say, a guilty pleasure because I like the original. So the remake, just watching Paris Hilton get a pipe through the head is so worth it. But this does have funny parts. And a good amount of horror fans are going to kind of dig this movie. It's just not my taste. It's got too much fucking unforgivable shit. And acting is, for most of them, is piss poor. The chick from Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake, the one that gets dragged up the ceiling and killed, does the Tina death. I forget her name. Her name's not Tina in the new Nightmare.
So.
But she sucks as an actress. And not a very good gum to tooth ratio.
I hate to see that fucking chart. That's great gum to tooth ratio right
there. You want to know who's got great gum to tooth ratio?
Go, shoot it. Natalie Portman?
No.
Jesus. Gum to tooth ratio.
That's too much tooth, less gum. who's got a pretty smile? I don't fucking know. Wait, don't question me.
I never watched a James Franco film.
Don't put me on the spot. I did not kill her. Whew. That's going to be a hard one to sit through. I'm not digging this one. I would say avoid, but you know, people have different tastes in horror, and you know, not everybody likes the original Halloween. Not everybody likes Friday. So some people are going to get a kick out of this more towards that probably hostile group.
Gotcha.
You know, cause there is a goddamn good amount of gore. The backstories with Billy, I dig. I thought that was neat. Not neat when the mom fucks him, but it was like, you know, you feel bad for the guy. It's like, oh, you watched your dad get murdered. He was the only nice one to you. Then you get locked in your fucking attic for like 10 years, like the mom, 14, 15 years.
Like the mom created the monster. And it's like, that they had that basis of the original, like a real serial killer took out basis.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't fried chicken that I like.
Yeah.
Not at all. So, yeah, I'm going to avoid this, but
do you feel like it? I mean, if you were to have both one, in, you know, the original and the remake next to each other, you would think it would be like a fun sit down, like you having people over at the house, and it's two good movies that you can kind of cover the whole crowd?
No.
Really? You think? I think if I
Because I think the older version, you know, is more my crew. I think people that like the older will not like the new.
Gotcha.
And I think people that like the new will not like the old.
And see, I think the old one would put a party to sleep. And I think the new one, I'm not saying like it's a bad film. I'm saying it's like, hey, let's all pay attention.
Well, it depends. Like if I had like, you know, my wife's age friends over, yeah, they would never follow the original. They'd just be like, oh, nothing's happening.
But you know what I mean? Like you have to pay, you got to kind of invest in the story of like the original, but part two, it's like schlock. You
yeah.
know?
I mean,
it's like watching a comedy routine.
I see what you mean. So like, yeah, if you're watching an old horror movie, it's never going to work for a party because there's a lot of lull.
Yeah.
There's a lot of building of the tension. I mean, Halloween doesn't work at parties.
Oh yeah.
It's a long spurt of where nothing happens. The other one's a little fast paced, kill, 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 rip out. I, you know, fucking, hey, there's mom tits, you know, it'd probably be okay for a background, but
I think that's why it works so well. It walked that fine line of being a solid story, but then also having the, hey, engaging. Look at this. Yeah. And let me engage you in the terror, the horror shits too.
Yeah.
But you're also balancing a very well balanced story. So it walks the line.
Well, it had a bunch of clever parts, you know, like, hey, you use the same bathroom as your mom. That's probably why you have crabs. Like,
and you got that funness.
Good quirky moments. And then, you know, it had abusive moments with, what's his head? Henry beating up on the kids.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, it engaged you.
Yeah.
Because with this one, it forced you to watch.
With the original, I had like the I'm sorry, going back to the Black Christmas, the original had like the abortion stuff and stuff like that. Mm. And that played more to like the college age, you know, and the drama that was going around that time. But with the remake, they used the webcam fucking sex scandal bullshit to kind of like, ooh, this is the drama that we're dealing with now. It's like,
It's weak. It's very weak. But I will say this in its defense. The director did not want this version. There's actually on the Wikipedia, if you look under...
Is there a director's cut?
Yeah, no, there's not really a director's cut. But if you look in the Wikipedia under production, there's an entire section called Studio Intervention.
Oh, gosh.
Bob and whatever the rapist Weinstein.
Gotcha.
Chopped this dude's movie all the fuck, would not let him do the original stories, made him rewrite. Like every day they would rewrite, and they had their fucking thumb on this guy the entire time.
Yikes.
This wasn't his vision. Like he originally, I believe I read, he originally wanted Billy and Agnes to win.
Oh, wow.
And you know, the Weinsteins were like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Like, no.
It's like, well, you won in the original.
I mean, there's like, look, there's like three paragraphs on it.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, there's a lot of interference with the studio. So, I mean, do I give it a nod because of that? No, I do not.
Gotcha.
You know, this isn't like Texas Chainsaw 3 where the guy's vision was compromised. This just had problems from the start.
Yeah.
You know, Texas Chainsaw 3, you still have an hour and 20 change minutes, yeah. Good. And then, you know, you get studio interference at the end. This had it from the get-go.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, no. I stick with my 70s and 80s.
Cool. I guess with us talking about Christmas and stuff, I know there's a lot of other horror films that stick out in our minds. With around Christmas time, we talked about Silent Night, Deadly Night. We're big fans of Michael Daughtry's Krampus, which was fucking just...
That was great.
It's great. Do you consider Gremlins?
Oh, absolutely.
Fall right into that, right? Yeah. Fun horror.
There's quite a few Christmas horror movies, you know.
Gotcha. I think the one I recently saw, recently revisited that was fun was that Silent Night remake.
Never saw any of them.
It was the remake was actually pretty fun. To an extent, it was really fun, you know, because it played like such a strong level of like, I don't know, like Death Wish kind of stuff, you know?
Maybe next year we'll review that.
Yeah, it was fun. But I'm glad we got together to do this Black Christmas episode.
Yeah.
It was a fun one because I love the separation in years of the films.
Yeah, I mean, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, 30. 32. It's called meth!
Hey, 30 years, that's awesome. And then, you know, maybe in another 30 years we'll get another Black Christmas.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I was like, all right.
So check it out. Next week, Ralph will be back or he's fired.
That's going to be awesome. God, that'd be fun.
Anywho, so all y'all, enjoy your birds, enjoy your Christmas, and hope Santa doesn't take a shit under your tree. I'm Nathan.
I'm Jeff.
Merry Christmas. Keep it merry.
Keep it merry. So don't waste down holiday road. West Coast King, holiday road, holiday road, holiday road, holiday road. Thank you for listening to Deep in the Horror of Texas. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, please leave a review on the iTunes or Stitcher radio app. And above all, remember to keep it scary.